The two associations that are in conflict in the Western Cape, CODETA and CATA, went into the late hours of last night. No decision has been announced yet, which means that we can assume that there's no resolution as yet, at least anyway. And I'm hoping that those negotiations will resume this morning. The MEC for Transport and Public Works in the Western Cape, Dalen Mitchell, exercising the option to invoke Section 91 of the National Land Transport Act in the interest of bringing stability and peace in the area, the act empowering him to identify and to close ranks and routes affected by the disruptions in the event that the violence continues or escalates. Joining me on the line now is Ofense Hlulani Mokoena, who is a transport economist and is at the Northwest University. Ofense, very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa, and good morning to your listeners.
Appreciate that you are not in Cape Town right now and you might not be on top of what is happening as far as those negotiations are concerned, but you did write an interesting paper which you titled Integrated Transport Planning Practices for Peri-Urban Municipalities in South Africa, a framework for rationalizing minibus taxi routes in two local municipalities, which I imagine are in the Northwest or were they in Limpopo, I'm not sure. And what you argue is that there is a case to be made, isn't there, for a rationalizing of these routes and therefore the operating licenses that are issued for those routes.
Yes. So the paper is based on data that we've managed to collect for the entire two municipalities in the Limpopo province. But the principles are applicable nationwide because the operational designs and structures are consistent everywhere.
What we're seeing in Cape Town, and it's certainly more complex than that, is that the two taxi associations are encroaching on each other's routes, which are obviously lucrative. The provincial government is the authority that obviously gives permissions for operating licenses to be granted. If you do not have an operating license to operate on that route, you should not be. But people are saying there's a lot of money, there's a lot of demand, so I'm going to get on there. How would you propose that they manage this rather challenging scenario?
Well, you know, over the last, let's say, 4 years, there have been a number of interesting developments. And the first one has actually been around digitizing the operating licenses themselves. And that's been a core issue, especially for Santaco. And so far, what we're seeing is that the moment routes are digitized, then associations actually have a much clearer perspective on what exactly is happening. But also the provincial regulatory entities can actually observe the likelihood that there would be overlaps on routes and also the probability of encroachment. So, you know, encroachment doesn't always happen on purpose. It is usually driven by, you know, the extent to which revenue can be generated by certain routes or on certain routes. But at the same time, there are political and administrative dimensions to that that we've seen in the inquiries that have been conducted over the last couple of years.
So how would the digitization of the process, if you like, help in some ways? I mean, would there be data input that the regulatory authority will receive from where that determines, you know what, there's a potential for 100 additional passengers to commute in that route, so therefore I need one more additional taxi? How would it work practically?
No, absolutely. I mean, what you just said is exactly what it would help with. The reason why I'm saying this is because when we have an integrated transport plan, in that integrated transport plan, you're supposed to rationalize and provide better quality information about bus routes, right? But for the taxi operations, the minimum requirement is that you just need to know whether there are enough taxis or not, and then basically indicate how many more taxis are necessary for this particular route. But in reality, though, every route has a specific type of peak. So unlike in the bus sector or in transport in general, you've got peak hours that are, you know, normal in the morning and maybe in the afternoon and in the evening. In the taxi industry, the peak is variable, you know, by direction and also in terms of time. And it depends on the route that is attached to some of the main points where people are actually being picked up along the journey, not at the ranks per se. So that creates a much greater level of complexity, and it also creates a big opportunity for people to jump in, if not pirate the routes, without being attached to any of the ranks as well. And in many instances, it legitimizes their existence because they're providing a service that commuters actually need, and there have not been operating licenses that have been issued at the rate at which the market demands them. So what you need is to basically, yes, on one hand, digitize the platforms, but on the other hand, you will need to go through a commission of inquiry to actually determine what are the fundamental causes of these types of issues, because law enforcement, provincial officials, and private sector could also be involved in some of these issues.
Would you advise the MEC for Transport and Public Works in the Western Cape, MEC Dallin Mitchell, to invoke Section 91 of the National Land Transport Act and close down those ranks and routes that are proving problematic? Or would this be too antagonizing, if you like, to the various taxi associations?
I think it is so usually from a strategic level, usually there is room to say that, you know, to issue a statement along those lines. But the prerequisites involve actually going through a proper process that is more responsive. So what I mean by more responsive is that the Western Cape has basically been in a situation where it has had to engage with various taxi associations, whether it was in Worcester or it is in Mitchell's Plain, over the last 5 years. All about violence, right? And the big question is, why haven't they had a commission of inquiry? Gauteng had massive violence issues, and before they escalated, they chose to take the commission of inquiry route, which gives the associations a safe place to articulate the issues that they confronted with.
Ofentse, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much indeed. Ofentse Hlulane Mokoena, transport economist with the Northwest University.